Good morning, Village. Welcome to our worship service today. Welcome to everyone in the sanctuary and to those of you who are worshiping via Zoom online. Before we get into the announcements, we're going to pass the peace. Please say hello to your neighbor or someone you don't know. It's a time to maybe get to know someone that you haven't met before. We'll take a couple of minutes to do this. When you hear the music, hustle back to your seats. Announcements today. Monday, there will be a deacons meeting at 7 p.m. on Zoom. For the newly elected deacons, that's a reminder that you're invited to this meeting. And we hope to have a good turnout because we'll be talking about how to divide up the family flocks for the next year. Worship and Music Commission will meet on Tuesday at 7 on Zoom. Village Voice deadline, if you're involved in writing articles for the Village Voice, we need your input by Wednesday. There will be a Beloved Community meeting Thursday at 7:30, that's also on Zoom. Save the date, October 26th at 3 p.m., there'll be a Trunk or Treat event. This is always well attended, and it's a great time for kids and adults. So if you feel up to decorating your trunk or the tailgate of your truck or vehicle, please come out and bring your kids. Homecoming is the next day, October 27th. That's always also well attended event at Village. So we hope you'll be here. And spread the word to your friends that's a good event to come to Village and get to know, or get to meet and know some people that you may not have had a chance to meet. A number of forms are in your bulletins today. Poinsettia form, I mentioned this last week. We have 2 more weeks to fill out this form. If you're interested in purchasing a poinsettia to help decorate the church for Christmas, please fill this out and make sure that you pass it in so that we have a feel for how many we're going to have. It's always fun to decorate the church with all these flowers. It looks great for Christmas. On November 5th, Tuesday, November 5th, is Election Day, and once again, Village will be a polling place. There will be a sign-up sheet across from the coat closet for people to sign up. We just need people to babysit the church while there are people here voting. Next is the missions project, the Purple Room. There are donations that are needed to help young women in India, or in Liberia, I'm sorry. There are a list you can see on this slide of the things that are needed. And please give to this worthy cause. Okay, beloved community, I said we were meeting on this Thursday, but Denise has an announcement about an upcoming event.
Hi, everyone. I'm Denise. I'm one of the co-chairs of our beloved community team. And yes, we are meeting Thursday. And anyone that is interested can just let me or Joel's on it. Renee's here. Let us know and we'll send you the link and you can come join our meeting. We meet for an hour. But as you can see on the slide behind me, we're taking a collective learning journey together. In November, we're going to the goal is to potentially get like a little charter type bus. So we need to make sure that we have enough people that want to come, that we can figure out the logistics of that. So it'll be from 9 a.m. We're going to meet here until about 3. The museum is across the bridge. And so we'll go to the museum, but then there's also like a tour that you can take on the bus to go to different locations, and we were going to stop and do some lunch and really have a nice day together. So we encourage you to sign up. There's a little QR code. For those of you that don't know how to use a QR code, your smartphone is very smart, and all you have to do is pull up the camera, and if you take a picture of a QR code, if there's a link that's working, it will... a little button will pop up that will say, like, go to this link. That's how QR codes work. You can also just save the tiny URL, which just makes it easier to type it in the computer. But also on the back table, there's a copy of the QR code, but there's also printouts of the sign-up form for any of my old-school folks that just want to hand-fill it out and give it to us so we can get that number. I think I got everything right.
Excellent. Thanks, Denise. Okay.
We're continuing to try to gather pictures for a pictorial directory. The directory is sitting on the back table back there. If you check that and your picture's not in there, please see either me or Dave after church. We want to fill that out. And I see a few people here that I know I don't have your pictures. So please come and find me. I'm in this bright magenta color today, so it'll be easy to pick me out. So we can get your photograph and it into the pictorial directory. Thank you.
Before I move on, I mentioned a number of inserts in your bulletin. There's one for the trunk or treat. Please sign that up, put that in the offering box. We're trying to get a feel for the number of people that are coming. And if you're going to decorate your trunk, let us know that too. The other is for the homecoming, trying to get an idea of the number of people who are coming to homecoming. And we're going to have a potluck lunch, so please sign up to bring a dish for that. Any other announcements that I may have missed? All right. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad.
Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord. Please stand and join me as we sing.
Thank you. acknowledging the tough task you have placed before us. We come aware of our duality as your children of grace and your children of life, living in a world marred with sin and death. We come knowing that our work begins and ends with you, God, as you guide us in building the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Nowhere is the difference between life and death, light and darkness, so obvious as now when we lift our prayers to you. As our Creator, our Redeemer, and our Sustainer, we ask that you help us to hope in these times you might feel far away. During this time when so many efforts and so many movements and so much feels hopeless, God, may you fuel our hearts with the hope you showed us when you raised your Son, Jesus Christ, from the dead. Today we pray for Rose. We have prayers of thanksgiving for Savvy Seniors, for Linda, for Pastor Caleb and Rihanna. Prayers of concern and thanksgiving at the same time with a disaster like Hurricane Milton. And celebrations of life in the 85th year. In this time, as always, God, we ask you to comfort those who are suffering, to give them healing and peace that they might sing your praise once again. God, we pray for our church. Keep us faithful in following Christ, and let us be a sign of your kingdom that we may all know your saving love. We pray for the nations. Change the hearts of our leaders. Bring justice and establish equity that all may have abundant life. We pray for our communities. Bind up our brokenness. Put an end to all violence that people may live in safety. Help us, O God of grace, to seek your will and to follow your way, to bear witness to your saving work, to bear witness to your warming presence, and to bear witness to your new creation. All this and more we pray through Jesus Christ our Lord. And all of God's people said, Amen. Thank you.
Good morning. It is time for the children's story. Come one, come all, young at heart. Good morning.
Excuse me.
That's what I get. Good morning, good morning. So there was an announcement made a little bit ago about homecoming. You guys know what that's all about? No? Okay. Anyone else might know? You want to give it a try? Homecoming. Homecoming, coming home. Yeah. You hope to have a treat, okay. Okay, that's what home, when you think of home, those are the types of homecoming in the future. Well, I mean, you think about homecoming, it's you go someplace where you consider it to be home. And when you think about your home, you want to say something, offer something, Jordan? Walking home on Fridays, and you're going to some place that you feel safe, happy, got friends there, family there, maybe a but it's a place you generally like to go to, right? Yes, you can tell me something. We got a few minutes. You cut the grass? Let me give you my address, okay, after church. Yes. Okay. So we have somebody that feels at home at church. Huh? At the park? You feel at home at the park? Okay. So, but what I wanted to talk about as far as homecoming is concerned is, you know, you come home and you feel good, you feel safe, you have family and parents that love you. So this church does something a little like that, where we have, we're not giving toys. We're welcoming you back because you've been away. And we consider all of these people here family. Family because we all came to church because we love Christians, yes, and we love the Lord, and we like being with each other. We fellowship with each other. So when I thought about homecoming, I said, well, what's special about it? And it's because it's something you like, it's something about you that makes you want to come. And then I was going through something, and I wanted to share this with you. When I think about home, I feel comfy and cozy. A blanket. Help me pull this out then. You pull the bag, or you want to pull the bag, I'll pull this out. I don't know, diapers. They're not diapers. So one of the things about coming home and feeling comfortable is you may want to feel warm. It's a quilt, exactly. And often, back in the long time ago, do I have it the right way up? Nope, I have it upside down. People would make quilts out of things that were special to them. So you see, this has a lot of different houses in it. So let me finish telling the story, and then we can maybe talk after church. All of these little pieces of fabric, they're all different, right? They meant something special to somebody. This was actually made for my daughter, so this has something that maybe this was a piece of a dress that she wore a lot, or maybe this. Not now. What happened was they take the dress, they cut it up, and they make all these different pieces, put the pieces together, and then this becomes a story quilt, and it tells about maybe when she wore a dress that was made with this fabric, or maybe when she wore a dress that was made with this fabric, And maybe this was a special shirt she had. And so they're all different. And so when she grows up, she'll think about this. And when she comes home, she may want to bundle up in this. And let me share one more thing before we have to go. I was looking for that in the back, but then I found out it was hanging up. That is a quilt as well. And each of the pieces in that quilt.
Why couldn't you just take it down?
Oh, no. Because everybody else wants to see it.
Oh, because
and you can see it after church. But
it's a Christian.
Wait a minute. Let me tell you. Each of the pieces in that fabric, in that quilt, were donated by members of the church. They were asked to give something that meant something special to them. I know I have a piece up there, and it was a part of my school uniform when I was your age.
And
because I wanted to be a part of the church. I said, I can't wear it. I can't wear it anymore. And I wanted to remember, when we look at that, I'm like, yeah, part of me is there. As in part of, you know, my daughter's past is in here. I know, we're gonna look at it. We're gonna look, because we had so many pieces. We had a lot of pieces, so we just asked for a little piece. And so what we'll do after church, we can walk up there, maybe your parents can walk up there and take a look at what's in there. And maybe they can point out the very piece. See, that's the piece that came from, oh, I don't know, a shirt that I used to wear, or a pair of pants that, oh man, when I wore those pants, I remember I was on the farm and I fell off the bus. Oh, I was cutting the grass every week. And so, but that's what homecoming, so when people come to see that, when they come home on the 22nd of October, they'll come back to a piece of what was left behind, the quilt. And so it gives them a warm, fuzzy feeling, makes them feel happy and comfortable. So when you think about home and homecoming, just look around at what makes you feel warm and comfortable and makes you think about like a blanket, exactly, like a blanket. So let's say a prayer, and then, I know, it's really cuddly. Let's say a prayer together.
Renee, I'd like to point out and add to the conversation that these quilts are our heritage.
That's true.
Tradition of art that women fabricated and made a home with. And this has been denied because we were women, that we belong.
And what Miss Anita is saying is that that type of work has become an art. It's a heritage art, and it's an heirloom. So people keep those in the family. They won't give those away, hopefully. They pass them down from family member to family member. We're going to say a prayer, and then we're going to listen to special music, and then I guess you guys will go back to children's church. Oh, no. let's bow our heads. Let's quiet our hearts and mouths, and let's say a prayer. Dear God, thank you so much for the children that come up for Children's Story. We love the energy. We love their enthusiasm. Watch over them as they go into the week. Bless them with happy and safe homes. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay.
You're here. I hope you feel the same when you see all my fear and how I fail. I fall sometimes. It's hard to walk on shifting sand. Miss the rock and find there's nowhere left to stand. I start to cry. Lord, please help me raise my hand so you can pick me up. Hold me close, hold me tighter. I have found a place where I can hide. It's safe inside your arms of love. And like a child who's held throughout a storm, you keep me warm in your arms of love. Storms will come and storms will go. Just how many storms it takes until I finally know you're here always, even when my skies are far from gray. I can stay, teach me to stay. Child who's held throughout a storm, you keep me warm in your arms of
Thank you, Casey. That was beautiful. Today's scripture reading is taken from the book of Job, chapter 23, verses 1 through 9 and 16 and 17. Then Job replied, "Even today my complaint is bitter. His hand is heavy in spite of my groaning. If only I knew where to find him. If only I could go to his dwelling, I would state my case before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would find out what he would answer me and consider what he would say to me. Would he vigorously oppose me? No, he would not press charges against me. There the upright can establish their innocence before him, and there I would be delivered forever from my judge. But if I go to the east, he is not there. If I go to the west, I do not find him. When he is at work in the north, I do not see him. When he turns to the south, I catch no glimpse of him. God has made my heart faint. The Almighty has terrified me. Yet I am not silenced by the darkness, by the thick darkness that covers my face." May the Lord give us understanding of his holy word.
Would you pray with me? God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you. Amen. Y'all, they say you shouldn't use a sermon illustration unless you've heard the whole story, unless you've listened to the whole song, or unless you've watched the whole movie. So I want to let you know today that I had to watch a terrible movie all the way through for this sermon illustration. It's by far the worst movie I've ever seen. It's a sin that it was made. The movie is called Honest to God, and it was released in the year of our Lord 2022. In this movie, an insurance agent named Daniel, who isn't always the kindest person to those around him, begins experiencing chronic chest pain. After he puts it off for long enough, his wife schedules him a doctor's appointment. But because she wanted to get him in as quickly as possible, Daniel doesn't go to his regular doctor, but to a new doctor who started a new practice in town. So Daniel goes to the new doctor. The doctor runs the tests and soon diagnoses Daniel with, no joke, Ebola bubonic plague dengue hemorrhagic infection. Sounds pretty serious. And then he tells him he has 3 weeks to live. Devastated by his diagnosis, as anyone would be, Daniel goes home, sits on the couch, and sees on the coffee table a Bible. Then he has an idea. He starts to pray to God and tells God everything he'll do if God heals him. He promises to be a kinder person, tithe 20%, walk his neighbor's dog, and give his assistants a raise. It's quite the list. And he says, you know what, God, I'll start right now to show you how serious I am about all this. He wakes up the next morning and does everything he said he would. He gives money to the unhoused who live around him. He promises 10% raises to his administrative assistants. He takes his friend Benji out for lunch, and he walks the neighbor's dog. So after a day of kindness, he gets home, the news pops on, and wouldn't you know it, the doctor who diagnosed him was arrested for impersonating a doctor. Daniel shouts for joy and says, thank you, God! But soon after hearing the news, he unfortunately stops living the life that he had promised God soon before. He goes back to normal Daniel, who isn't that great of a person. As he's faltering on his promises to others and to God, we get terrible news. His friend Benji was found dead in his apartment. At Benji's funeral, Daniel realizes that God is holding him accountable for everything he said and promised during his grief. So he swears to do them again. After this revelation based on pretty bad theology, we see him live a long life of being the Daniel he promised to God, where he gives to the poor, loves his family and those around him, and as we later find out, is called to serve as senior pastor of his local church. The end. I won't recommend this movie for more than one reason. Don't watch it. But I will say that I think it's useful in illustrating something that discomforts us. This movie shares a mindset that I think is held by too many people. See, what this movie teaches us is that God will hold you accountable for what you say to Him. Even if that's at the lowest point of your life, and even if you're grief-stricken like Daniel was. It tells us that you may want to hold your tongue before you go too quickly when you're talking to God, or else God might make you pay for it by, for example, killing off your best friend in his apartment because you didn't follow up on your promises. In this mindset, speaking your mind to God isn't always the best thing to do, is it? In this mindset, being silent to God is better than being honest to God. In our scripture passage today, we find Job being really honest with God, don't we? For several chapters, Job's friends have been telling him, well, you must have brought this on yourself. That's the only way any of this could make sense. So go ahead and ask God to forgive you, and everything will be okay. Unsurprisingly, Job doesn't find this too useful. So Job decides that he's going to take his case straight up to the boss, straight up to God. This is a great idea, isn't it? Especially since we believe in the God of righteousness and justice. But Job hits a roadblock very quickly. He can't make his case to God. He can't be honest to God if God is nowhere to be seen or nowhere to be felt. He says, "If only I knew where to find him. If only I could go to his dwelling. I would state my case before him and I would fill my mouth with arguments. If only. If only." So not only does Job find himself unable to talk to his friends, but pretty soon he finds himself unable to talk to God. Job finds himself completely and utterly alone. We see throughout the book of Job that Job doesn't feel heard. And I think this is central to Job's suffering. Being heard is a deep part of what it means to be human, isn't it? When we don't feel heard, there's something really, really upsetting about it. When we're not heard, we're trapped in a space of solitary confinement. And that's where Job finds himself today. There's something subhuman about not feeling heard. But there's a specific problem that plagues us today about Job feeling unheard that bumps up against our relationship with our Creator. The real problem in today's passage is the absence of the one person we're told always listens, God. We're told that our all-powerful, all-present God is always listening. There's a well-known hymn that tells us about the pleasures of taking everything to the Lord in prayer. "Oh, what a friend we have in Jesus," it says. One verse goes like this. I'm not going to sing it. "Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee?" It sounds like Job. "Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there." But today Job isn't singing this hymn, is he? No. Job sings his own song in the form of a psalm that describes God's seeming absence. Quote, "But if I go to the east, he's not there. If I go to the west, I do not find him. When he is at work in the north, I do not see him. When he turns to the south, I catch no glimpse of him." Job is not even close to seeing God, is he? Job seeks to describe the feeling of inhabiting the only space where God isn't, with him. Job's words reveal something troubling today. Even if we don't feel like God is absent in our lives, even if we're in the north, south, east, and west, wherever God is, there's always someone who feels like God isn't there. This represents the reality of suffering in our world that requires us to reckon with the implications of God being absent in the face of suffering. What does it mean for atrocities to occur day in and day out at a rate that is too troubling to ignore? What does it mean for these things to happen at a rate that makes us ask, "Where are you, God? Where are you?" So whether we don't feel heard by God, or whether we see events that make us question where God is, this reality brings us to a crossroads. When we go back to today's passage, it asks us what we're going to do when we don't feel heard by God. It asks us, are you going to be honest to God, or are you going to be silent to God? The movie I talked about earlier, despite its title being Honest to God, tells us that we probably want to choose silence over honesty in most cases. In the movie's mindset, we have to take the stance of Job's friends and say, whoa, 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 buddy, calm down. You don't want to be talking like that, because pretty soon that one will hear you. And you wouldn't want that, would you? See, this is literally a vignette of the abusive father stereotype. Someone who doesn't let you speak your mind without punishing you for it. This mindset tells us that not talking to God at all is better than being honest to God if it hurts. If we can't be honest to God, we can't ever be heard by God, especially when we feel like God is really, really far away. So the ultimate problem with this mindset is that it leaves us with silence. Many of you would agree that there are good types of silence and bad types of silence, right? My mom said that the scariest silence of all to hear when your kids were playing upstairs was a thud and then silence. If you heard a cry, they were awake, they were conscious. If you heard silence, oh, expletive. Well, today I want to tell you that feeling like you're unable to be honest to God leaves you with the worst type of silence. A silence that represents the death and despair that pervades our world. This is the silence that makes you feel alone, unheard, and unable to be heard. This kind of silence leaves you completely and utterly alone. Feeling like you have to be silent to God demotes us from God's beloved child to something subhuman. We can think about this silence today with the help of author Wendell Berry. Berry is a writer and a farmer who resides in rural Kentucky. About silence, he writes this, quote, "The distinguishing characteristic of absolute despair is silence. There is a world of difference between, on the one hand, the person who, believing that there is no use, says so to himself or to no one, and, on the other hand, the person who says it aloud to someone else. A person who marks his trail into despair remembers hope, and thus has hope, even if only a little." So I don't think it's too far off to say that silence, especially when we're alone, is often what makes us feel hopeless. Silence is what keeps us trapped in the pits of darkness and despair. Silence is what arrests us from having hope. Remaining silent when you feel despondent is submitting to the forces of death and despair. You'll never be heard if you remain silent. So if we adopt the movie's mindset and interpret Job's words as something he needs to regret, then we open the door to choose a deathly silence instead of being honest to God. But today I want to share with you a better way to interpret Job's words to God this morning. Today we interpret Job's words as a protest against the forces of death and despair. In today's passage, what Job shows us is a defiant faith, a faith that frees itself from the shackles of sin and death to hope in a day where Job will be heard by God. When Job speaks in spite of God's absence, he says, "I believe you're the type of God who will come back. I believe you're the type of God who won't leave me high and dry, so prove me right." Job is saying, "This all must be wrong because I believe in something better than I'm seeing." And that, friends, is hope, even if it doesn't sound like it. Hope doesn't always sound like a sweet, sweet melody. Sometimes it sounds angry or despondent or exasperated. If we believe hope can look like the Son of God crucified and resurrected, we believe that hope can sound like the phrase, "Where are you, God? Where are you?" So Job's words about not being heard by God aren't a waste of his breath, but instead a powerful choice to say, no matter what, I have hope. In today's final verse, Job says, "I will not let darkness swallow me up." If that isn't hope, I don't know what is. So the good news today, friends, is that Job teaches us how not to let the darkness swallow us up by always talking to God, even if we're not sure God is there. Today, Job teaches us that being honest to God is always better than being silent to God. Job provides a powerful witness that affirms God wants to hear from you, no matter what you say or no matter how you say it. Today, Job teaches us that we don't lose our status as God's beloved children when God feels far away. But most importantly, Job corrects our tendency to choose silence over being honest to God. Silence represents hopelessness. Silence means that death and despair have overtaken us in our darkest times. But the good news is that when we speak, even if it's yelling at God, even if it's screaming at God, we create hope. When we speak into the darkness, we tap into the same hope that allowed Jesus to yell, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When we speak, even if we feel like nobody is listening, we're able to look death and despair in the eyes and say, "I won't let you swallow me up." When we choose to be honest to God, when we choose to speak into the darkness, we testify to the day when God will come back and God will comfort us. Speaking honestly to God declares that we believe in the day when we'll feel God's presence in a way we never, ever have. The day when we feel joy rather than sadness. The day when we feel being with God rather than being alone. So today we learn that being honest with God gives us hope. Instead of deathly silence, being honest with God allows us to connect with our Creator in a truer and in a deeper way. When we're honest to God, even in the times God feels farthest away, our honesty will bring us closer and closer to God than we have ever been. In that moment, in the moment when we're fully honest to God, we realize that God wants us to be our truest selves in relationship with Him. So today I challenge you, never ever stop being honest to God. Never ever choose silence over telling God how you feel. Say whatever you need to say. "Where are you, God? Why, God? I don't even know if you're real, God." Say these things if you need to. Because honesty to God is always, always, always better than silence. Never forget Job's witness that when God feels far away, if we're honest to God, God will feel closer and closer until finally, that day of reunion, that beautiful, beautiful day of reunion, will finally occur. God wants to hear from you. God wants your honesty. And this is our reason to hope. What a wonderful hope we can have when we're honest to God. May it be so. Amen.
Please stand and join me as we sing "Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise," and it's number 58 in the hymnal if you would like to look there.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And as you go forth, may you know this, that nothing, not even your words, can separate you from the love of God through Jesus Christ. Amen.